From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Welcome once again to a broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. Our speaker is Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. On today's program, Dr. Cairns commences a series of studies in Paul's Epistle to the Colossians. In the ancient world, Colossae was an insignificant market town with none of the attractive features of a place like Ephesus. Yet in that place there was a church of believers in Jesus Christ, and it was to that church that the great apostle wrote one of his most outstanding letters. In the course of this message, Dr. Cairns will show that here we have a picture of a true New Testament church. May our hearts be encouraged as we see that, in God's sight, there are no insignificant churches or Christians. First, we invite your attention to a devotional thought from Faith's Checkbook, a collection from the writings of the great 19th century preacher C.H. Spurgeon. Our devotional for today is entitled, We May Speak for God. The text is Jeremiah 15 and verse 19. Therefore, thus saith the Lord, If thou return, then will I bring thee again, and thou shalt stand before me. And if thou take forth the precious from the vial, thou shalt be as my mouth. Poor Jeremiah. Yet why do we say so? The weeping prophet was one of the choicest servants of God, and honored by him above many. He was hated for speaking the truth. The word which was so sweet to him was bitter to his hearers, yet he was accepted of his Lord. He was commanded to abide in his faithfulness, and then the Lord would continue to speak through him. He was to deal boldly and truthfully with men, and perform the Lord's winnowing work upon the professors of his day. And then the Lord gave him this word, Thou shalt be as my mouth. What an honor! Should not every preacher, yea, every believer, covet it? For God to speak by us, what a marvel! We shall speak sure, pure truth, and we shall speak it with power. Our word shall not return void. It shall be a blessing to those who receive it, and those who refuse it shall do so at their peril. Our lips shall feed many. We shall arouse the sleeping and call the dead to life. O dear Christian, pray that it may be so with all the sent servants of our Lord.
Send me, here am I, Lord, send me, unto thee willingly, yielded I come, show the path that I must walk, compel me then to go, and if I stray, show me the narrow way, for here am I. Send me, I pray. Send me to be what's created in me. Form in your image I stand. Turn my weakness into
I'm
You're listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We continue to receive encouraging response to these broadcasts, and we want you to know that we are very grateful to those of you who take the time to contact us. Among the various publications which we offer on these programs, the most popular is the quarterly Let the Bible Speak magazine. The principal focus of the current issue is the Gospel of Luke. The articles include Luke, the Man and His Message, A Primer on Prayer, The Parables, and Following Christ, the Meaning of Discipleship. Also, this issue contains another in a series of articles about the founding fathers of the Free Presbyterian Church, focusing this time on Dr. John Douglas. You may have a free copy of the magazine simply by asking for it. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Or you may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. Also, if you enjoy the program, you may like to visit our website, Let the Bible Speak Radio, or ltbsradio.com. Don't forget the word radio, ltbsradio.com. In this connection, we'd like to call your attention to a series of video features on the website. In these video clips, Dr. Alan Cairns answers questions from both believers and non-believers regarding various issues, such as, how do we know the Bible is the Word of God? What is the unpardonable sin? Or, what's wrong with same-sex marriage? These video portions are listed under Q&A with Alan Cairns. You're sure to find these presentations to be informative and enlightening. Q&A with Alan Cairns is found on ltbsradio.com.
Now then, let's turn to God's Word. We're going to read a few verses in the book of the Acts, and then the first two verses of Colossians chapter 1. And it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coasts, came to Ephesus. And finding certain disciples, he said unto them, Have ye received the Holy Ghost since ye believed? Or, quite simply, having believed, did you receive the Holy Ghost? And they said unto him, We have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. And he said unto them, Unto what then were ye baptized? And they said, Unto John's baptism. Then said Paul, John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him which should come after him, that is, on Christ Jesus. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid his hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came on them, and they spake with tongues and prophesied. And all the men were about 12. And he went into the synagogue and spake boldly for the space of 3 months, disputing and persuading the things concerning the kingdom of God. But when divers were hardened and believed not, but spake evil of that way before the multitude, he departed from them and separated the disciples, disputing daily in the school of one Tyrannus. And this continued by the space of 2 years, so that all they which dwelt in Asia heard the word of the Lord Jesus, both Jews and Greeks. The Lord will add his blessing to the reading of his word from Acts chapter 19. And now the first two verses of Colossians chapter 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timotheus our brother, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ, which are at Colossae, grace be unto you, and peace from God our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The Lord will add his blessing to his word for his name's sake. This morning I'll be directing your attention to these opening verses, and especially the second verse of Colossians chapter 1. The church in Colossae was the fruit of Paul's ministry in the city of Ephesus. When Paul was there for a prolonged period preaching the word and disputing with the Jews who came to oppose the word, we read that all the people, Jews and Gentiles, from the entire Roman province of Asia, came to hear him. We've read in Acts 19, verse 10, that this, that is, that period of disputation continued by the space of 2 years, so that all they which dwelt in Asia heard the word of the Lord Jesus, both Jews and Greeks. One of those who heard that word was a man by the name of Epaphras, who received the gospel and was converted to Christ, and then went back to the Lycus Valley in what we know as Asia Minor, to preach the gospel. And in that work, he later came to be joined by another convert of Paul's Ephesian ministry, Philemon. Now, in the area of the Lycus Valley, there were three cities, Colossae, Hierapolis, and Laodicea. And in all these three places, the gospel took root, and churches were established. The local inhabitants of the area were mostly pagans, though there were some Jews, it would appear, from what we read in Colossians, and also from what we read concerning the general Asia Minor area from the second and third chapters of Revelation, that the Jews of that area had assimilated quite a bit of paganism, its philosophy and its practices, into their practice of Judaism. And it would also appear that these people then began to cause quite a problem for the Christian churches. As these churches were established, the transformed lives of the converted pagans and the missionary zeal which they manifested at Colossae not only caused the gospel to make inroads into the other cities, so that from Colossae the gospel went out to see other places evangelized, but it aroused the interest, perhaps the jealousy, certainly the activity of these Jews, Judaizers, who had assimilated so much of the paganism into their practice. These people began to insinuate their peculiar views into the church at Colossae, so much so that Epaphras had to pack up, leave the work, and hurry off to Rome, where Paul was imprisoned for the gospel, to get his help, because Paul was the acknowledged apostle of the Gentiles. And he, having long experience of fighting Judaizers of every kind and protecting the church from these assaults of the devil, would know what ought to be done. So he went to Rome. Hearing his report, Paul responded, and in response, he wrote, I believe, two letters. One is what we know as the Epistle to the Colossians, which was specific to the church from which Epaphras had come. The other is a circular letter, which we know as the Epistle to the Ephesians, but which was distributed much more widely over the area of Asia Minor. I think, for example, that those commentators are right who say that when Paul later in this Colossian epistle refers to the epistle sent to Laodicea, that Laodicean epistle is not a lost epistle, it is the Ephesian epistle, that circular epistle which was sent to the general churches of that area. So he responded by writing two very important letters. When you read Colossians and Ephesians, you'll find that they stand very closely related. There are many, many points of similarity, though there are certainly very important points of difference. It appears to me that Colossians was the first letter written. It was written specifically to the needs of that church, and then growing out of that, before Tychicus set off with that letter, Paul wrote the greater letter. By greater, I mean the larger letter to the churches of that area. Now, of the three cities in Epaphras's mission field, Colossae, Hierapolis, and Laodicea, Colossae was the most insignificant. It had been rather more important as a trade center in earlier times, but its glory days were long past. For example, the editors of the Geneva Study Bible make the statement that Colossae was a fairly unimportant market town, easily the least significant city to which any of Paul's letters were addressed. So here is an insignificant little backwater of a market town, and yet the great apostle to the Gentiles writes one of his most glorious epistles to that very place. The reason is very simple. There was a true church of Christ there, and that church was under attack, and that church not only needed to be, but deserved to be preserved. You see, in God's analysis, there's no such thing as an insignificant Christian, and there's no such thing as an unimportant church. anyone for whom God's Son has shed his blood, any church that he has set up and inhabited by his Spirit, and to which he has given the mission of proclaiming the gospel, cannot be insignificant. Whatever the backwater in which we're called to serve, however unimportant in human terms the surroundings in which we are called to worship, however remote or inconsequential to man our situation may be, we're called to do a work for God. Never forget that. Something we ought to remind ourselves of continually. I do this on a personal basis very regularly when I get into my study. And the realization, I'm not the most important preacher in the world, or the greatest preacher in the world, or among the elite preachers of the world. And our church is not the biggest or the best or the richest or the greatest or the most influential. But I stop to think that God should give to me and to this people any place at all in the service of the King of Glory is in itself a tremendous privilege. There's no such thing as an inconsequential or unimportant or insignificant church or Christian. I want you to understand that, because I think that very often people get into a church and they settle back and they say, well, I don't count. Well, that's the devil's lie. I want you to understand that the only person who says that you as a Christian don't count is the devil. Certainly not the Word of God. It's certainly not the teaching of the gospel. It's not the witness of the Holy Spirit. It's the word of the devil. And why any Christian should ever want to settle back into anonymity, doing nothing or feeling he can do nothing because of being misled into believing the devil, is more than I can fathom. This church, insignificant as it may appear, was worth preserving. It's for this reason that I think that the church in Colossae has a very special message for us to take to heart. Because, as I've said, we are small, we are inconsequential, we are facing attacks on the very heart of the gospel, just as this church was. Thankfully, not in our case from within the church, but yet we are surrounded by forces that would threaten and overwhelm us if they could. And this epistle, you'll find, is very beneficial, especially because of how it sets forth Christ. You see, the key to the Colossian epistle is holding to Christ the head. It is setting forth the centrality and the all-sufficiency of the person and the work of the Lord Jesus Christ.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.faithfpc.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us Monday through Friday at this same time as we Let the Bible Speak.